Hello everyone, I have now started up my own events company where I'll be bringing guests from all over the world for a live interview, meet and greet and questions from the audience. My first guest will be undefeated boxer Joe Calzaghe. Tickets are on sale now for the event in Glasgow on the 29th of January 2022. You can click the link in the description or go on to Eventbrite, type in Joe Calzaghe Glasgow and purchase your tickets there. I will hopefully see you all soon for what's going to be an amazing night.
Boom, we're on. And today's guest, we've got another Dirty Sanchez legend, Pancho. How are we? Is it Mike Pancho Locke?
Mike Pancho Locke.
Is it Locke?
Yeah, it's a silent E.
Yeah, is it? The Scottish would call it Locke.
Do you know what? I've been called worse. I've been called far worse.
How have you been, my brother?
I've been very well indeed. Very well, very well.
That's good to see you, man.
You too, my friend. Good to you see too. You. Right? Thanks for having us on.
No, a legend in the game, like I say. Absolute nutcases back in the day. I've had the main man, Matthew Pritchard, on. Now I've got yourself. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a pleasure to be here. And Pritchard's a bit of a hard taskmaster as well, needs to try and live up to. Do you know what I mean? You know, Forrest Gump himself.
Yeah, he's doing well with all the fitness stuff.
Yeah, he's a great man. Do you know what? Like, the utmost respect.
Mm-hmm. Dirty Sanchez, mate, absolute legends for what he's done, what he's achieved. Not just in Wales, but all around the UK, even worldwide. I know he's went everywhere with it. He's kindly set the benchmark for the mad shit, which is, I love that stuff. Like, I'm very dark humoured, and for what you've done, you've kind of took it to another level from Jackass, but UK, and like I say, he's been adored, loved, and it's good to have you on.
It's great to be on, and we were told that like we made Jackass look like the Teletubbies, so, you know, I love Jackass, you know, but Sanchez, yeah, at times it went completely off his scale.
I always go back to where to start with my guest, brother. Where you grew up and how it all began.
Brought up in Bartholbert, the eldest brother of three. Yeah, and then, just an average upbringing, you know, like working class. Yeah.
What was your school and stuff like?
My school. Yeah, my school was all good, man. It, like, believe it or not, like, it wasn't until Sanchez that I ever got bullied. Like, I kid you not. You know, like, football and stuff took football to a level. And then, skateboarding and stuff kicked in. And, I had to make a conscious decision whether to pursue skateboarding as opposed to, like, football, which was, you know, it was really going off and stuff. But I was having more fun, you know, playing football and whatnot than that flies in my head now. I was having more fun, you know, skateboarding. So, I had a chat with the old man and he said, Mike, do what you love. And next thing you know, I'm travelling around Europe with, you know, Pritch, two Brummies and a guy from my stig. When I was 15, like on one of those yearly passport things. Mm-hmm.
A young age, but how was that experience for you going through that?
It was great. It was before I did like the old Benidorm with the boys type thing, you know? And it really broadened my horizons. And, you know, I was quite fortunate as a child to travel and stuff, you know, with the folks and whatnot. But when you go solo, you know, but don't get me wrong, I had to earn, you know, that right. You know, there was two paper rounds. And when I went to my dad, I said, look, Dad, I've got 90 quid, yeah? And he was like, well, look, I'll give you a 50 on top of that. And I went away for 10 days around Europe. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's still a young age to then be thinking about doing that stuff, to be trying to spread your wings and make something of your life.
Yeah, no, but it was all about just exploring skateboarding. You know, Matthew and Dinked, you know, especially Matthew, like he set the bar so high with skateboarding. At that moment in time, he was probably, well, without doubt, one of the best in Europe, if not the best.
Is that how good he was, yeah?
Yeah. He's really, you know, with Matthew, you know, he takes everything to the extreme. You know, like I know you went into that subject, you know, on the podcast, but he genuinely, yeah.
Yeah, that crazy mentality.
Yeah, yeah, it's like all or nothing, you know, he really goes for it. And yeah, that was the same skateboarding, yeah. So.
How was your family upbringing? Mum, dad, brothers, how was that life?
Yeah, it was all good, yeah. It was, yeah, all good. Dad's, you know, like worked in the steel, he worked in Metalbox. We emigrated to South Africa when I was like 3. So I lived there till I was 3 till 5. Yeah, 2 younger brothers. My middle brother's a lawyer.
Yeah.
And my youngest brother's a Sparky in the steelworks, which I'm sure you passed on the way down.
I did pass that. I was like, what the fuck is that? I thought something was on fire.
Is this a crazy metropolis?
It was either that or else you were smoking up a big blunt. I was just coming around the bend. I was like, something's on fire.
Yeah. Smoke signals.
Yeah, innit? Yeah. Well, that might have something to do with my growth. Like, all that sulfur, maybe.
What's the... Is your brothers and that, what are they all like fitness-wise? And
Simon's, my middle brother Simon, you know, he's a good rugby player. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did really well. Chris, yeah, you know, he dabbled in sports and stuff, but, you know, he's just settled down, two children, he's happy. Simon, he's got 3 boys under the age of 5. And he...
Shagger?
Oh, it's someone in the lock gene, man. Uh-huh. Yeah, but, Simon's flat out. Yeah, he's done it. He's done a few, half marathons and stuff, you know, in good time.
Yeah.
But, like, he's had an injury recently, so...
So yeah. Quite an athletic family as well. So how did you... Were you a baller at the football? Were you a winger?
No, I was in the boiler room, man.
Well, you're like, the
centre mid. Yeah.
Pulling the strings.
Yeah, I like orchestrating, like Jan Mulby was.
Yeah, Iniesta.
No, that centre of gravity, mm-hmm. But I was surrounded by good football players. Do you know what I mean? Like Fursey and stuff, they were tall guys, you know? So like they knew when to go, and like we used to feed off each other, and mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a great unit, man.
How did you get on in the centre mid, though? Did people try and bully their way?
Like when Hammerhead comes into play, you know what I mean? It's like this Cranium, you know. Yeah. It's, yeah. But I guess try and orchestrate it, you know.
What did you do for work?
When I left school, I did an apprenticeship with Sony's.
Did you?
Yeah. In Bridgend. Mechanical engineering. Yeah, got to the 3rd year and they wanted to change it to Mechalec. And yeah, I basically discovered Escape, which is a nightclub, a notorious nightclub in Swansea. So my focus wasn't so much on the college, it was more on partying. And yeah, I didn't actually complete that course. So,
did you go off the rails at an early age?
Yeah, you could say, yeah.
What do you think kicked that off? Just young, daft?
Just young, naive, and very, very stupid, yeah.
Yeah, I was the same, man, just fucking ripped the ass out. I'm still the same, but obviously...
I think we come from, like a similar kind of background, yeah. You know? It's, it's a learning curve, isn't it? Life is a learning curve.
Every day.
You know, but I'm like a boomerang. Come on now, this time, you must learn this time. Yeah. Maybe.
Difficult. Change isn't easy, but it can be done. That's the beautiful thing about it. We're all fuck about, but we just don't know what's going on in life. We just don't know, honestly. It's just one big game in my eyes. Have you ever stuck to a proper job? Did you ever have anything?
Yes, indeed I did. Basically, I was still living with my folks at the time. So I got back home and I was like, right, you know, the apprenticeship's gone. The old man went, he said, you got a week to get a job, otherwise you're out the house. So I stuck a shitty factory job out for 3 months, which was really hard work. But then, in the meantime, I managed to get a job as a quality engineer working for a Japanese firm. And that, in itself, yeah, that was good money then. You know, it'd be good money now also, yeah.
How hard is it to get out of Wales? It's quite small populations, quite small areas. Do you feel it's quite condensed? There's not much happening.
Yeah, well, in the meantime, you know, further on, you know, I moved to Bristol and stuff.
Doing what?
But that was actually working with autistic children.
Oh, that's good, man.
Taking them to extreme classrooms and stuff.
Yeah. How was that?
It's probably the most rewarding thing I've ever done in my entire life. Yeah, apart from bringing up my own kids.
Yeah, how many kids you got?
2.
How old?
two daughters, yeah.
Yeah, I've got a daughter. She's a loving mate. Yeah,
they grow up too fast.
Too fast, and I like hitting that age, 11, 12, 13. Like, makes you see the world differently. Listen, I treated women like shit. Like, I was a player back in the day, but then you get a daughter, you kind of, your whole outlook changes.
Well, and yeah, because you know what
guys are like.
What guys are like,
bastards.
Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah. So, yeah, it's testing times, but they're good kids.
That's the main thing.
Yeah, Ellie's, she walked away with 12 GCSEs.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, good on her.
Which is a lot more than what I did.
She must get her brains from her mum then.
Or maybe the postman.
So how the fuck did you end up in Dirty Sanchez then? How did that start, that mad journey?
That mad journey began when I was maybe 13. Like myself and a good mate, Jan Purchase, we used to skate locally and stuff. And we were looking in magazines and we could see, like, oh, Pritchard, Cardiff, like, you know, all of that. So one day we went up to Cardiff. Like, as we turned right and walked up the hill, Pritch and all the crew were all there. Like, and we just, like, got a little bit starstruck. I'm not going to lie, man. Pritch is still a dickhead, by the way. But, we were skating up by the top of the railway station and, we just hit it off, man. Like, you know, it was one of those things and they showed us all the spots. It was like, we'll meet up, you know, this time next weekend. And then, like, Pritch had a pager then. So it was like, all right, page me, like, if you want to skate, you know, or whatever. And, things just manifested from there and, you know, skateboarding basically took over my life.
How good were you?
I was all right, man. Made the magazines. And but more importantly, I had a lot of fun and I loved pushing myself, you know?
Is that
the body is, you know, it doesn't heal too good.
What's that with?
That's from skateboarding, just landing on your elbow, popping your shoulder and stuff.
What kind of injuries, other injuries have you had?
Touch wood. Apart from that, not like ankles, broken fingers, broken toes, dislocated knee, but like, you know, nothing as severe as that.
Yeah, that's fucking dodgy, that.
Yeah, there's a dodgy fucking, it's a dodgy surgeon on this.
Did Pritchard do that?
I do question myself at times. Like I said, touch wood, that was the worst one. But the worst thing was there was a nurse on and I went to a school that had a sixth form and she was on work placement. I'm off my head on morphine and I needed a bedpan thing. I couldn't get out of bed. I was basically trapped in this morphine thing. And she came along. Yeah, and had to put in the bedpan. And then I had to the second year of school and she was just leaving. It was just it was quite awkward. But in hindsight it's funny.
How did then how was our whole outlook when you started forming your little gang and then getting the call to then make programs? Were you recording stuff before?
Of course, you know, there was people like Denny who was documenting PMXing and stuff, and he's an absolute legend. Dykey also, he was more chilled on the skate and he was doing a media degree. And then, you know, Dayton would always have the camera on. So initially, you know, it started off just being South Wales skateboarding scenes, you know, like a scene video, just showcasing what we got in South Wales. And then things just brewed up. And then we discovered alcohol. And and then there was Pritchard versus Dayton, which is based off a Yankee thing, Rodney versus Daywon. And myself and Dan got involved and Dan is Dan.
The rest is history.
It just manifested and FHM, I believe, got a hold of a copy of Pritchard versus Dayton because that was salt in all the skate shops in the UK. And then a researcher from MTV contacted Pritch. And I remember Pritch ringing me up, and I was on this Motorola mobile phone, like, all right? I was skating down the road, like, yeah. And he's like, oh, they want to do a show on MTV. I'm like, fuck off, man. Fuck off. You're wasting my battery. Like, I think. Like a Dom Jolly type moment, like that. And then, yeah, he just pursued and pursued. And then, yeah. Yeah. And then the train tickets came through the door to go to Camden. And, yeah.
What age were you?
I was 22.
And then that's when the madness began. How were you accepted doing the skateboard and stuff? Because I know Pritchard says it wasn't as big then. So it was kind of like outcast.
For, yeah, for me, right, and this is an honest to God story, because we were like skateboarding, and it was like seen as a rebellious, you know, uncool thing. You know, now it's in the Olympics and you got all the corporates and stuff behind it. But at that moment in time, it was like, there was people in my school, like, all right? And especially after, I said, you know, the football stuff, because I was going to commit to skateboarding, you know, one or two of them would try and have a go, but they knew that I was fucking better than them in football. But they didn't, like, they tried to have a pop, like that. And fast forward, you know, 20-odd years, I was in a pub in Bartholomew, and one of them came up to me, and he was like, hey, Lockie, how did you get that show on MTV, but? And I was just like, do you remember that piece of wood with eight holes and four wheels? That's what got us the fucking show. Let me buy you a pint. Fuck off. Jog on.
Yeah.
Do you know what? If you can't accept someone for who they are. And do you know what? Like, to be fair, like, my friends, you know, and people around me, but, you know, I'm from a small town. You know, it's very much different to Pritch, you know?
Yeah,
but you know, there was like the odd blinking knobhead.
You're going to get that no matter what you're doing.
Yeah,
in life.
Of course you do in life. You know, like, you know, there's good and bad in everyone. You know, but it was just one of those moments. I was just like, look, remember that skateboard?
Yeah,
that's what got me into fucking MTV. Mm-hmm. You didn't want to know then. Now fuck off.
Yeah,
jog on.
What was your first video you done for Jackass? For Jackass? Fuck it, I'm not promoting those bastards for Dirty Sanchez. Can you remember?
Yeah, the first stuff that got us the pilot was, it was Pritchard versus Dayton.
What was going through your mind doing it all? Were you thinking just a bit of fun? Did you realise how big it was going to get?
I don't know. I was probably half asleep most of the time. No. There was no pre-planning. There was like everything that happened was completely organic. Yeah, it wasn't contrived. You know, when we went to MTV, they wanted to call it Pop Idol, Shock Idol, sorry. Yeah. And we're like, nah. And yeah, you know, the name came about. And in hindsight, yeah, we should have, like, retained the name, because the bastards owe us a lot of money.
What is Dirty Sanchez, who picked the name, and where does it come from? I don't even think I asked Pritchard that.
You'll have to Google what Dirty Sanchez means.
Yeah.
Joycey came up with it. Yeah.
I'm surprised I didn't.
It's a sexual maneuver.
You know, you're for a fucking.
And there's no happy ending with it, you know? Well, not for the lady, you know? I don't know. It depends on where you rock, you know? But he wouldn't be happy for the lady. We need. Google it, James. Because I had to when I was 22. I remember going to the blinking, like Holiday Inn or wherever we were at, and it was a dial-up internet, and I had to Google it, and then just went back to the Elephant's Head in Camden, thinking, oh, yeah, I know what it is. Yeah, of course I know what it is. I got the moment in time, I didn't have a fucking clue.
I'm surprised. I definitely need to Google it fucking now. Well, how was it then, a young kid, young skateboarder from Wales, to then getting put into the limelight, MTV, massive name, everybody's wanting a piece of you. How does that affect you?
To be honest, like, you know, being with the likes of, like, Matthew Dayton, yeah, especially Pritch, you know, there was always like limelight and stuff. And, you know, Dane set up a company that I eventually turned like pro and stuff on, called Kill City. And So we'd like, we were getting people like coming up to us in the skate world, but it's nothing like prepare you for like walking down the street and just people coming on to you. And it's, yeah, it was, yeah, it was pretty intense. Yeah, it was, you know, yeah, going out of the ordinary, shall we say. But
can that become tiresome?
Well, at the end of the day, you know, if people are willing to watch a show, then you know, you got to respect them. You put yourself in that position. You have to rock with it. You have to deal with it. Mm-hmm. You know, it like, so, yeah, you know, it was like the Tampax had to say, take everything in your stride. Yeah, I know, but it was, yeah, it was definitely a shock to the system, and but in a good way. Yeah, obviously you meet knobheads out there who want to try and, you know, if you're in the pub and whatever, you know, it's to try and out-comp you. But, you know, thankfully, you know, they were few and far between.
Is that the difficult thing, though? Because obviously your character, like, you were a little bastard when you were drunk and that. Like, you caused a lot of shit, even though, like, when you fell asleep and stuff, you got the hair and that shit, but you caused a lot of shit. Is that hard to them, people thinking you're that character 24-7? When people expect to see you, what you're on the TV to what you see in the pub.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like I've had football, like professional football players who I'm not going to mention, come up with like 50 sambucas and say like, down them all, down them all, down them all. I will give you 5G. And I'm like, look, man, I'm an actual human being. Like, do you know what I mean? You know, like, don't get me wrong. I used to like to get very inebriated. But that's not the real me. The real me is like quite a secluded person, I'll be honest with you. You know, I'm like a mellow like character. You know, don't get me wrong, if someone takes your eyebrows off, have you ever tried going to the bank manager with your eyebrows off? Yeah. I feel like that. So you feel like an Eastern European orphan. You're like, like the industry, it's not so good, man. You know, it's not good, man. So therefore, there is going to be a reaction. But I am a very placid person, you know. It's like at those moments in times, if you get fucked with, you know, mm-hmm. and yeah, because Pritchard's saying, you know, just give him 20 minutes and then he's in La La Land, you know. But it got to the point, like, all right, we got purposely kicked off a tour bus with the pepper spray and stuff, yeah, which almost like. The bus driver, he was like that. He said, I've been on tour with Anthrax, all his death metal. I don't even know the half the name to him. He said, I've never experienced anything like you guys. And he was like, get off my fucking bus. We were like, yes. So we like we end up in Rome, like check into a hotel. I'm like, yes, my own room. Like went to bed. The boys only just went like that, right. Oh, Mike Glock. Room 902 or whatever. You know, I can't remember the specifics. So even when I was trying to like chill out, do you know what I mean? It was just non-stop. So therefore there is going to be a reaction. And just like with, you know, with the cacti, like myself and Pritchard had been awake all night in Vegas. The cactus went into the back of Pritchard's head. He flung it out. You always fucking... And he had me right there, yeah? And, yeah, I flipped out. And I did, yeah. I smacked him.
That could have took your eye out, though.
Exactly.
An inch, Pritchard, you bastard.
Pritchard, a fucking wanker.
I remember that when you stuck it on his head. And then he threw it. That's right, I remember that.
Yeah, but it wasn't me. You actually put it on his head.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
That could have fucking took your eye out.
Yeah, it was super close. It was like this choya cactus or cacti.
Because you've been close a few times. What was the one you jumped in the pool with the marine gear on and nearly drowned?
Mate, yeah, I completely underestimated that. And we were just like recovering. We were recovering from brands and stuff. And like with the schedule with MTV at that moment in time, things got fast-tracked and... like, there was no, like, recovery period or, like, time to chill with your loved ones and whatnot. So, yeah, instead of being a fortnight off, it got fast-tracked. It was just, like, 4 days. But then going down there, I was very ill-prepared for, you know, I just thought, yeah, well, you just jump off a 10-metre diving board, touch the ground, push off. I'm a fairly confident swimmer. But the thing is, I went off the board and I didn't touch the flaming ground. My, like, tippy toes got in, like, oh. So I'm like, ah. So I don't reach the surface, and therefore I'm like, right, just stay calm, Mike. Just stay calm. You get to the top, no. But, yeah, it didn't quite work out like that. So, yeah, one lifeguard came in, two lifeguards came in. Yeah, I think it was four in total. Yeah, and too much time spent underwater.
Did you nearly die?
Yeah, I wouldn't say. Like, it was a real horrid experience. And, like, if people say, you know, it's a good way to die drowning, I beg to differ on that one.
Fuck that, man. So what was it that kept you under the water? The boots?
No, it was basically not touching the, like, you know, kicking off from the, you know, from the, like, the bottom of the pool, if you like.
So you couldn't spring?
I didn't get any spring load. Like, so what I should have got is gone in with an ultimate bomb. And then, like, yeah, but, yeah, I don't think me and the Marines are cut out, to be honest. I was all right to carry in Pritch, you know. But, yeah.
How many times you been branded?
Just the once.
And what happened?
Right, well, basically it was my 25th birthday and we were in Nogales, Arizona with a lot of cowboys and stuff. Yeah, so we decided to go over to Nogales, Mexico. And we went over there and... You know, in Latin America, Sanchez is massive, yeah? So, like, we're walking down the street and people just come out of the bars, like, yo, Joycey, Dayton, Pancho, you know, and tequila, 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 oh, yeah? Well, like, all the shenanigans, you know the score, yeah? And then we went back over the border and... Jimbo, he was like, well, you be branding my cattle all week, so now we got something for you. And he came up with a glazing DS. And I got Dayton locked himself in the car, completely shitted. I was up to you. I was like, yeah, let's do it. Pritch is like, yeah, man, let's do this shit. Like, all right, let's fucking have it. Like, let's have it proper. And, like, Matthew being Matthew, you know, like, where there's no sense, there's no feeling. Like, you know, he was there, right, from the get-go. So, like, top off, fucking, I was like, Pritch, don't look, man. And he was just went, tss. And it was like a sizzling pork fucking steak, like, right? And then he pulled out this other one. So I did a similar thing. It's just like, you know, with injections and stuff, I can't look at them. So like the brand thing, I had to look away and it just went. And then Joycey, trying to be Joyce, he was like dancing in front, going off on one like that. So he just like had all these pitter-patter little like burns and stuff. But I remember having a phone call off Pritch and he said, how's your brand, man? And I was like, not good. I remember buying these cargo shorts, not these ones, but a reputable make, like, and when I was on the plane, it was starting to seep through, you know, the brand. Yeah, it's probably one of the gnarliest things. That and stingy nettles.
Is that your worst time experience in Dirty Sanchez?
I don't know, the list probably goes on. like the dildos in my hand, yeah.
That was funny. That's fucking funny.
Robocock.
Yeah, that's funny, that. The sellotape and the dildos to your hand and the fucking lock round your neck. The bastards.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, my old man's name, God bless him, like, I was David Locke. So I was like... I've got a D-lock around my neck. Like, do you know what I mean? And the first time in Scotland, Matthew had it wrong earlier. No. The first time was in Belfast and Joycey swallowed the key. I did wait for him to shit it out. But then they did it in Scotland, yeah? And with a lot of, like, rattling. I barricaded my fucking door in the house. I thought I was safe, like, do you know what I mean? But the bastards came in through the window, didn't they? So it was like, wherever I went, it was like, no, I couldn't put my head down in, like, peace at all.
But why did you, how can you fall asleep? You, once you sleep, you fucking sleep. Like, one noise, I'm fucking on guard. I'm standing up, but you're out.
Yeah, I think I struggle with like sleep apnea and stuff. Like, I just go into a mad sleep.
Perfect for shows like Dirty Sanchez, then, huh?
Well, I suppose it definitely like suited the cause at the time. but that doesn't sum me up as a person. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, I did gnarly shit. You know, we all did gnarly shit. You know, it's, you know, there's horses for courses, isn't it? You know, it's like Joyce, man. His shock value is, you know, tremendous. You know, there's nothing, you know. You think of the grossest thing, and in like Joyce's like, oh, I'll give it a go.
How was the paintballs and stuff, though? Did you go through that, or was it just Pritchard?
Yeah, we all did.
All went through the first one.
The
first series. Like, how? That's fucking sore.
Yeah, because one night my little fucking wiener, like, right, it would like skim the ball back, right? And yeah, it was. Yeah, naked paintball, and I would say, yeah, that's probably up there with one of the like the worst, mm-hmm. Like definite. Yeah, like you had to do like the walk of shame going through. Yeah.
But when you're talking about it, you're smiling as if you missed the pain as well. But
do you know what? I'm not a fighter or anything by any means. I'm not a tough man. I'm a mellow fucking person, but. Do you know what? There's some pain which is quite nice, isn't it?
I don't know.
If that makes any sense, you know, like, well, of course it makes sense, you know. Yeah. Pancho's S&M club coming up soon.
Going through that, the experience though, and becoming the name that he's did, like, was it a good feeling? How did family members and stuff treat you as well? Were they proud? Like,
oh, but my mother was like, you know, it's like watching a car crash, Michael. You know, mm-hmm. Like, you don't want to look, but you will look. And my father, after, right, we're like, basically, Pritch turned up with his girlfriend at the time at my parents' house, yeah? Because the producer at the time wanted to interview my parents and whatnot, yeah? So, they turned up. Pritch had been awake all night, yeah? Bottle of vodka and a cranberry juices and my old man's Wrangler jacket, but with the sleeves cut off. Yeah, so like that was the first ever introduction my parents had, right? And my old man's like this. That guy looks like Freddie Boswell out of Bread. So, like, we started laughing, and then, like me and Pritch were just getting, like, having a laugh, and they were trying to do interviews. So I was like, oh, like, you know, let's go over, like, the local pub and stuff. And Pritch rocks in, and people had never seen anything like I in Potomac, you know. It was just, like, straight, you know, out of the fucking Brady Bunch, yeah? And, yeah, we went back and, like, my father had had a few wines at the time. So that we were doing the slapsies thing. So fast forward a week, and, like, my dad had, like, a pretty good job in the steelworks at the time. So the morning meeting, and we're like, oh, Dad, we saw you on TV last night. And he went, oh, it's not one of my stupid son's programmes, eh? He went, no, Sir Trevor MacDonald. And we'd got accused of being happy slapping. And he was like, Mike, every waiver I've signed is going out the fucking window. There's no chance I can ever buy for this. Now, like, oh, we've been stitched up. Like, we've been stitched up. And you know what? Like, I was unaware of it at the time as well. But, yeah, so the old man, he had his own opinion. But, yeah, all in all, like, the family's response was good.
Yeah, but again, it's a massive thing. It's something that you probably enjoyed. Like, what's the most you miss about it?
Well, so, well, basically, just like anyone else at this moment in time, you know, like I miss like traveling, exploring, and you know, meeting new people. You know, skateboarding. But you know, like things are so busy at the moment. You know, like with other stuff. Yeah, you don't get much time to skateboard. But, the travelling aspect, definitely miss. The camaraderie between the boys, you know? Mm-hmm. It's great, you know, it's great for a while, but then, you know, like, we're like, I like my own bed. I like my own house. You know, I like just the basic creature comforts.
Like to get into a deep sleep without getting your fucking eyebrows whipped off.
That's exactly right, James.
How many times did you get your hair shaved?
Well, as you can see, I'm unemployed now. Oh, mate, I couldn't even tell you, like, a lot, of, like, too many.
Because you had a good
too many, even Howard Marks had me at the end. Do you know what I mean? Like I thought me and Howard were good mates. But, Imac and stuff, and the eyebrows went. Yeah, because when, like, the kids were getting born, I was like, boys, I don't want photos of me without eyebrows. You know, it's like one of those.
Yeah. How is that? Like, obviously, you're doing it for, like, cameras and stuff as well, but there must have been times you're thinking, fuck me, does it ever become hard work as well? Or do you just go, do you know what, we're making a show and we're becoming successful?
Probably a combination of both, if it's telling you the truth. You know, because, you know, people think tour bus life, you know, is great and whatnot. But you try living, sleeping, eating, you know, you're only getting, like, you know, 2 showers a week, you know, unless you go to some dodgy service station in fucking Germany or whatever.
Yeah, with somebody looking through the wall having a wank. I don't know what kind of service station that is.
Well, you been to them. Like,
it's only service stations I go to.
I like glory old James. Yeah, you know?
Why do you think I'm on the road so much?
Oh, dude. Yeah, but and like tour life, it wasn't like. After a while, it really took its toll, like, you know, on all of us. And as much as I love the guys, you know, and, you know, like, very, you know, sincere friends, you know, after a while, you know, it's just like being on a rugby or football tour, you know. It's, you know, like, you need that time, you know. To
recharge.
Yeah, to recharge. And
yeah. How long were you on the road for?
Like 2 months.
At a time?
Yeah.
No break. And people might think that's not long, but I'm on the road for 3-4 days sometimes a week and I'm fucked when I get home. I'm drained. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it might not sound like a long period of time, but when you're trying to sleep with one eye open and you don't know when to chill and it's just like, you're just eating like shitty baguettes and stuff all around Europe. Like, look, this might sound as if I'm complaining because I'm not complaining about a single inch of it, right? I have no regrets in life. You know, it was rock and roll, it was timeless, and that's what made us who we are. And, like, we respected it, you know.
What was it? Who took the line? Was it Pritchard? What did he take a line of? Vinegar or something? Or what was it he took a line of something?
Oh, like a metre of mustard powder. We've snorted wasabi.
What was that like?
Wasabi. Yeah. Well, what do you think?
I need to try it. Oh, that burned the nose off you.
Burnt your fucking. A meter of mustard, I think, was the biggest attempt. But then we used to do like punters challenges, but it didn't really work out.
Did you have a team behind you to say, look, you can't do that because you can die? Or was it just a case of, fuck it, let's go?
Do you know what? There were Glaswegian ones who came down, right? And we called him Begbie, and he was more nuts than us, right? We used to just sign everything, like high risk, and post it under his door, yeah? But then, we had other health and safety people and, like, you know, good people, yeah? Like, you know, I'm not going to mention any names because I don't want to jeopardise any professionalism. But, the Mancunian, you know, he was great, you know, like, we rocked with him, we partied with him, we're still friends to this day, but, like, everything, high risk, you know, it was, yeah.
Yeah, everything dodgy then, but...
Well, you've got to tick those boxes.
What's the one thing you would have loved to have done when Dr. Sanchez was at his prime? Did you ever have any pranks that you kind of just missed out on, or...
Do you know what? To take Pritch's hair right off, like to the bone. No, looking around now, there's so much gnarly stuff going on now. I don't know if you've seen like that person dropping in on like a bridge and then just base jumping off it. Do you know what I mean? Like I'm not very good with heights, but like
never mind.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
No, I know, tell me about it.
Give me a line of fucking baking soda or whatever any day, mate. Fuck that shit. Anything to do with heights, mate.
That's... No, I'm rubbish. That's why I stand a 5 foot, 4 and a quarter.
What do you think about the stuff that's happening now to when you were doing it back in the day where it was a kind of free for all? Like, half the stuff you've done now wouldn't be allowed now. But what do you think of the stuff that everybody's kind of doing? Everybody, because social media is popping. Anybody can be.
Social media is popping, and you know, like, you know, respect to people as long as they're promoting something good. But like, also, I think there's a lot of negativity that comes with it. You know, like with, you know, nothing against, you know, these Love Islanders and stuff. But like, if you're promoting like fucking Botox and fake, you know, like, you know, I don't really. Yeah, I just don't care all that.
Yeah, it's all inflows and stuff, but a lot of people, when somebody does something bad, they get shared and retweeted fucking thousands of times. Like, people think the world's a bad place, but if somebody does something good, it doesn't get shared that much because everybody loves drama. So people just share the shit, and that's the difficult thing. But when you were going through all that then, did you ever get any grief from when you were at the height of everything? Like, trolling and that wasn't around then because social media wasn't around, but did you ever get...
I like it, you know, going back to what I said earlier, you know, now and again you meet the odd tosser in the pub who was like, look, I'm harder than you type thing. I'm like, look, mate, look, just chill out. And there he's fucking smashing the glass over his head, putting it to my fucking neck. I'm like, you do that, Sunshine, you're going to have a fucking, you know, you're going to fucking see the other side. You know?
It's mad, but isn't it?
Yeah.
But
then, you know, the bit, like, you know, touch wood, and, you know, thankfully, that was, like, you know, few and far between. You know, everything was, like, pretty well embraced. You know, people, like, we got well embraced, you know.
Yeah, people accepted.
Like, on a whole. Yeah. Because I think, you know, as opposed to, like, you know, the Yanks and stuff, it was, like, far more, like, relatable. And a lot of people, you know, they seemed to enjoy it.
How was the live audiences?
Do you know what? It was one of the best buzzes of my entire life.
Yeah?
Yeah. 10,000 people at Reading, 10,000 people at Leeds. Yeah. Nothing, you know, like, for like you know, just a normal chap. And then, you know, you get him paid to do fucked up shit, which we were doing anyway. It was pretty like something else. It was special.
Did you ever feel pressure? Try to constantly raise the bar? To get laughs and get the wow factor, the shock factor.
There were like, there was always an element to like raising the bar and stuff, but I don't think we really had a problem with that, you know, especially when you got Pritch and Joycey on board.
Yeah. Were you sad when it kind of came to an end?
Yeah, like, to be honest, yeah. Yeah, the way things, like myself and Pritch went into Channel 4, yeah, we did like, you know, some pilots and stuff. And yeah, but you know what? All good things have to come to an end at some point, and then, you know, it's time to move on then, isn't it?
Yeah. So what happened? What did you do with your life then once it was kind of, the curtains were kind of coming down a bit on the that stuff?
Yeah, do you know what? Like at one point, I was in between checks and I had to pay, you know, for everything and stuff. I went to the steelworks for a fortnight. You know, it's, you know, like nothing's, you know, and, you know, I'm a working class lad. But then, you know, now we started up like Samp Tableau. That's been going really well. And yeah, the rest is history.
Yeah, because obviously people think they see you on the TV and they see MTV, they think you're making millions, but it doesn't work that way. Like,
yeah, well, like Harvey Weinstein, he's got a lot to live up to.
Yeah, he owes you $4 million. What's that story again?
Yeah, well, basically, like, he bought the rights for out in the States. And, I don't think we'll ever see that.
Yeah, fucking bacon. You'll never see that for that fucking... Yeah, I guess that's just fucking nature, isn't it? But just, is there no way you can fight a case against that?
I don't know. We'll have to see. It's something that, you know, we'll have to explore. You know, it's obviously going to be explored, but yeah, you know, it's the old principles. Like, we'll just see what happens there.
Yeah, fingers crossed, man, because it's still your baby. You still deserve to get something if you can.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, was there a lot of corruption and backstabbing when it came to all that kind of stuff, money and contracts and all that bullshit? No. Especially if you're naive to it.
Oh, like, initially, yeah, without having an agent and stuff, yeah. You know, it's just like, well, Matthew, you know, but then, you know, the second series and stuff, yeah. You know, we made things all right, yeah, so...
Yeah,
exactly. It hasn't all been like doom and gloom, you know. Like, yeah, it's great, but when you're young, you think it's gonna last forever. But
mm-hmm. Were you spending a lot back then?
I was spending quite a lot.
Everything, yeah. Just live for the day, kind of mentality.
Well, yeah, kind of. Yeah, it was just live. Yeah, live and let live.
And then we got older, have kids, and we think, fuck me, give me that money back.
Do you know what? Yeah, but the kids are alright, so. That's the main thing.
Yeah. So, were you just in and out of jobs then? What was it like from being on MTV to then going into kind of a normal job?
Yeah, but that only lasted for like, you know, two weeks.
How were you getting treated though?
Pardon?
How were you getting treated when you were in there? Was people just not always wanting to ask questions?
It was just like, you know, it was just like a proper interview. It was like fucking non-stop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, certain people were stoked, other people looked down on you.
Yeah,
but you know what? You know, like, yeah, you gotta dust yourself off, man. Mm-hmm. You know, like, sometimes you have to be down there to experience being up there.
Yeah, of course, man.
You know, and like, nobody's bigger than the village. You know, like, for myself, you know, I rock with all sorts of people. You know, I don't care if you're famous or not. It's about how people treat you and how you want to be treated.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Life's a journey. Like, I'm the same. Treat people the way they treat you. Like, everybody breathes the same air. Like, there's it doesn't matter what we've got in the bank or who we are. Like, it's just all a persona and it's just a shield at the end of the day. Like, we're all fucking equal in my eyes. Like,
no, exactly.
Obviously, I'm doing well now. I can start looking down on people. Do you know what I mean?
I'm not doing too bad. Yeah, but like, do you know
what is this then? So let's promote this straight away. This is a brand. Clothing brand
called Samba Tablo, like, uh-huh. Myself and Nigel Hunt, business partner. It's been going for like 5 years strong.
Good, man. The shop's doing well, some classy stuff, very colourful. Is this for that skateboarder kind of mentality?
It's basically, you know, it's one of the best streetwear shops in South Wales at the moment.
And where can people get this shop? Where is it?
Yeah, they can find it on www.sampatablo.uk.
Uh-huh. What do you think, looking back on that experience then, of the mad years?
The mad years?
Yeah.
What do I think? Carnage.
Yeah?
Yeah, just complete and utter carnage.
Is that 20 years or 25 years?
It's 20 years, man.
He's going to get like an anniversary kind of thing.
Hopefully, we'll see what happens. Who knows? Who knows? We've all got schedules. We've all got stuff to do.
But it's mega now. You know, you're talking social media. Everything's popping, and I don't see why not. I think everybody loved it. I think even when it never got another season, I think people were kind of shocked by it because the views were still fucking going through the roof.
Yeah, but you know, like, we went on and did, like, myself and Pritch did, you know, Balls of Steel, you know, some other stuff.
Balls of Steel was funny.
Balls of Steel was probably one of the most painful things that I've ever been through. Yeah, it was fucking gnarly, man, going through a brick wall, like, fucking whoa. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, looking back, I was just think, what was I doing? What was I actually doing?
Yeah,
it's pretty gnarly, man. Yeah.
Would you have done anything though? Would you have been willing to do anything to create content?
No. I draw the line on certain things.
On what?
Well, on what?
Glory holing. Just for me.
Bring in the fifth Beatle. Just bring in the fifth Beatle. But no, it was so bizarre, man, because I was in a really rough, like, turbulent relationship at the time, and doing a lot of narcotics and stuff for the first series, and I'm like, how on earth I got invited back to the second one, and then we did the third, and then we did like massive balls of steel. You know, it was, Channel 4. Yeah, they definitely put us all pieces. So give me that.
They don't care, man. They're a free for all as well. Does that come a lot of pressure and stress, like getting views and figures and trying to do well? Like, does that where the alcohol abuse and drug abuse comes in?
I think they were like, no. It was just part and parcel of life, you know, like at that moment in time, you know, like viewing figures. You know, we just leave that, you know, to, you know, if we were invited to, you know, to come back and do another show, that was just the way it was, you know.
Yeah.
But like at that moment in time, I wasn't really conscious about that, you know. Knowing what I know now, it'd be completely different, you know, just like with anything, you know.
I think that's what makes it work, though, when you don't care.
Yeah.
When you are oblivious to it, that when you start worrying about it, you kind of put more pressure on yourself, and that's when the mistakes kick into play.
Yeah, well, I'm not, you know, like, I'm not worried about anything now. You know? It's like, just happy living, like, a good life, San Pablo, which is a great place, you know, like, you know, we got the mountains there, we got the beaches there, you know, perfect reservoirs. Like, you like cold water swimming, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
There's a beautiful place up there. You must come one
time. Yeah, I definitely will.
Yeah.
I definitely will.
Yeah.
I love all that shit. That's what keeps me sane. Even though people think you're insane, I feel as if I'm sane. I'm fucking insane.
Scottish. Yeah. Of course you're going to be insane.
You know what I mean? Were you battling hard when you were going through the narcotic stage and that? Was that a long period of time for you? Did Pritchard ever say, look, you're fucking, get your shit together?
Oh, Pritch did, yeah. Like, at one moment in time. But it was more to do with, a very, you know, volatile relationship I was going through at that moment in time.
Did that affect you?
No. Well, it affected our business. And that's the only time me and Matthew have really, like, come to loggerheads, yeah.
Yeah, because it's a brand, isn't it?
Yeah, it's something, you know, it's a lesson learned and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
You know, these days, you know, it would never happen. But, like, at that moment in time, when you're young and you think things are going to last forever, you know, then,
yeah,
it was. But, luckily enough, you know, things are all good, yeah?
Good, I'm glad to hear. What about when your dad passed out? What was life like then? Did you struggle with that?
Both my folks, like, I lost them both. Like,
sorry if you lost, brother.
No. To rejoice in life, because, you know, like, the time we had together was precious, and it did hit me like a ton of bricks, and I probably did spiral out of control for a year or two. I beat this, that, the other, and just being a fool. And then you realise, come on, get your shit together. I'm still working on my stuff, you know, it's every day, but, you know.
Yeah.
You write your own eulogy, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Like, we'll fucking make mistakes. Like, I'll speak about this shit, but my dad passed. I spiraled for 7 years. Mm. All I'd done was take fucking drinking drugs. I didn't know how to handle the pain. And even when I had Joe Kosagi on there, again, he was broken when his dad died.
Yeah.
He hit the drink and the partying, because we just don't know how to handle death. Like,
oh, man, you know, like, I'm sorry for your loss too, James.
Thank
and
you,
bro. And, like, you know, like, Joe Sr., you know, like... Oh, man, it's hard to put into words, you know, you know, because, you know, it's an escape mechanism, but it's, you know, like, I remember my old man saying to me, look, you'll never find the problem, you know, you never resolve a problem at the bottom of a glass. And what was I doing? Just,
Yeah, bottoms up kind of thing. But it does take your pain for a very small percentage of the day away, but it just enhances it the next day as well.
Yeah. But on the plus side, I've got a very good circle of friends and tight family. And, I'll get drink from now and again. Like, the narcotic side is gone. You know, but it's good to have, like, a smaller bubble, you know, and, you know, people you can really trust.
Yeah.
Yeah, to move on. And, you know, like, the scars will always be there. And, you know, legends never die either.
No, did it fuck? Let's, yeah. As you say, the scars are always there, but you just got to learn how to deal with them too.
No, absolutely.
Move forward with them.
And, you know, to be honest, you know, like, that's the beauty of living in Petolbert, you know, is you can go mountain biking or just go for a cycle around the beach now, you know. It's,
yeah.
You know, it's beautiful.
Get the
know.
Good vibes, nature.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. Your mum and dad would have seen you living your best life at a young age, just having fun and being successful and doing what you're doing. Like, having a son that's on MTV and doing, just having fun with a group of lads, yes, it was fucking nuts, but still, man, they'd be proud of.
Oh, they're like, do you know what? Like, they were definitely proud. Like, my old man, he wouldn't admit this, but, like, you know, my old man, like, he was like a double bass player, you know, mm-hmm. and he stood as high as I did, you know what I mean? Like, he was one of those man's man, like, off the Ed Gaskis got in the car, like, I'll sort that out, you know?
Yeah.
You know? Proper legend, man. Mm. Like I'm sure your dad, you know,
yeah.
It's just, you know, like, I was blessed, man. And I don't want to sound, you know, like, but, like, you know, it was great to have him here, like, for when we did, you know, for the time we shared together, and it's priceless. And if I could be half the parent that they were to me, to my daughters, I'd be a very happy man.
Yeah, I'm sure you are, my brother, and more, but it's just all about living and learning and accepting the pain to move on. And listen, man, well, life is a journey. It's a fucking mad journey at that. It's not easy, man. Like, no matter how well you succeed or what you're doing, like, I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm a constant thinker. So I'm thinking, what the fuck is it all about?
Like, same here, man.
What is it all about?
Oh, same here, bud. Same here.
Do you know what I mean?
Every day I learn something new.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, like, you know, the world keeps turning, you know, it keeps evolving, you know, adapt, overcome. You know, it's not about, like, you know, oh, like, you know, I've got this, I've got that. You know, like, materialistic stuff doesn't drive me personally. Yeah? It's about finding your inner
strength.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've all got that as well. That's a scary thing for anybody maybe watching or battling. Big security guard.
Somebody here in downtown PT. Downtown PT, Sapa Tablo.
Big mo cop there.
Oh, do you know what?
Where do you go from here then, brother? From the MTV star to having your own clothing range to what's the plans for the future?
Like, the plans for the future are to be a better person than myself, like, learn and, yeah, try and stay in the straight and narrow. But more importantly, to be, like, the best father I can and, you know, make this shop, you know, proper, you know, take it global. You know, San Pablo, you got San Francisco, you know, let's, why not, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Make this success and just go with it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where do you get that method of thinking to take it global and believing that you're going to take it global?
Well, because, like, if you haven't got hope, well, like, what have you got? You know, like, you've got to go for stuff 100%, haven't you? If you're not going to go for it 100%, what's the point in going for it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Exactly, mate. You've just got to take your shot, roll the dice.
Roll the dice, pay the price.
Exactly,
like,
mate.
That's what I used to do with the kids. Like, I was up on a dad, right? He used to play craps, right? Oh, daddy, yeah, roll the dice. And they came up with the term, roll the dice, pay the price. Yeah, but it was great for, like, quick, like, arithmetic and stuff for the kids.
Yeah. Where's the best place you've ever been in the world?
Where's the best place? Oh, obviously, fucking
Scotland.
Fucking downtown San Pablo. I have actually been up Ben Nevis and it was glorious.
Did you climb it?
Yeah, man.
Beautiful, huh?
No, it was great, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great. Yeah, it was about 4 years ago. Yeah.
It's a good climb. Easy. It's not as hard as people think. It's the tallest in the UK.
It is the tallest in the UK, I believe, yeah. But, it was for a charity that was very close to my heart. And, Yeah, it was. Do you know what? It was going up, right? it's completely different to coming down.
Down's harder.
Down is harder. Yeah. And you know what they actually had? It was August time, and they had like an annual like, do you like, you can get up the fastest and stuff. And it was people coming down. I felt like a fucking, like a bowling ball in a fucking alley. Like, all right. But then it was people, like, all right, desiccated legs and shit like that. And like, fucking, like, necks. Like, proper embraces. It was proper gnarly, man.
Yeah.
Proper gnarly. And I was just like, ah, whoa. This does make Sanchez look like a pile of shit, man. Because they were going for gold, like, yeah.
Funny, but that. That's where I find my peace and nature.
Yeah, no, definitely, man.
That's when I feel alive, like, just out in nature, feeling good, out in the wilderness, no fucking body there, nobody to talk to. If I see somebody in a supermarket that I know, I'll go down another aisle so I can't speak to them.
I did that actually today. For once, it wasn't an ex-girlfriend. No, but like peace and tranquility and happiness. I don't want to sound all hippie and stuff, but that's the way forward, I reckon.
Yeah, that's the beautiful thing about it. I think when you go through a bit of trauma and pain, when you start losing people, you start understanding life a bit more. You start appreciating a bit more, even though we can still fuck up and do bad stuff. And my eating's bad. Like, we can still destroy our health and certain things, but we know we're right from wrong. We know what we're doing is wrong, but it's just hard sometimes.
Yeah, it's all about finding the life balance.
Yeah.
Like for me, yeah, I have a couple of drinks, you know, now and again, but, you know, like trying to eat healthy and, you know, just to get out and get energised, get out into the countryside, get out into the wilderness, you know.
Yeah, recharging.
Yeah, and just recharging, like you said, you know, there's nothing wrong with a bit of, you know, secludedness. You know, just go away like Raoul Moat.
Fuck's sake, take everybody out with you.
No, that was really fucking wrong. I do apologise to the family there. But, but like peace and tranquility and stuff, you know, is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Before we finish up, my brother, would you like to finish up on anything yourself?
I'd just like to say thanks for having us, James.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Yeah, and if anyone's watching, www.sampatablo1901.com. Check the link before.
We will leave the link in the description box and stuff anyway for people getting contact. This episode is sponsored by this brand anyway.
Happy days. I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, welcome to Sampatablo, brother.
Thank you. Listen, God bless you and thanks
God
for coming on.
God bless you too.
All the best for the future.
Cheers.
Hello, everyone. I have now started up my own events company where I'll be bringing guests from all over the world for a live interview, meet and greet, and questions from the audience. My first guest will be undefeated boxer Joe Calzaghe. Tickets are on sale now for the event in Glasgow on the 29th of January 2022. You can click the link in the description or go on to Eventbrite, type in Joe Calzaghe Glasgow and purchase your tickets there. I will hopefully see you all soon for what's going to be an amazing night.
You can also watch my podcast on my YouTube channel. The link is in the bio if you'd like to subscribe. You can follow me on my social media platforms to see who my next guest is. Follow me on Facebook at JamesEnglish11, Twitter, JamesEnglish0, Instagram, JamesEnglish2. You can also download these podcasts on iTunes or Spotify.